Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveil Christ to the World broadcast as we continue on in a message I've entitled God's Glorious Church. And the last couple broadcasts I did share some personal things in terms of what UCM has been involved and is currently involved with in terms of Native American ministry. And I was sharing some things, a fascinating account of a brother who had done quite a bit of research. Over 20 years he spent in writing the book on the Forgotten Awakening, how God sovereignly moved even before the advent of the white man, moving upon Native American leaders and holy men, their medicine men, and they began to speak of this truth that the Creator God, who they worshipped, was giving them, all in preparation for the gospel. One specifically, and this was, my goodness, this was a tribe in Venezuela, in among the Columbia Plateau Indians, I heard of years ago in the Cherokee, God alerted them that white-skinned men would be coming with talking leaves. And this was nothing else but the Bible. And so their hearts were already prepared. But the unfortunate tragedies that occurred when some of the later Christian missionaries came, that they did not approve of what, or didn't give any value in terms of what, how God had been preparing them. They were locked into their own denominational structures, their own rigidity about what could be done, what could not could be done. Basically, it meant to Christianize the Native Americans, meant to make them white Christians, in other words, to deprive them of their culture. And the Native Americans are still reeling from this indignity and the loss of their identity. But beloved, this is just a specific thing regarding here in this nation. But Lord knows that throughout the centuries, man has done a great disservice to the Christian message. And I'm not on the broadcast just to say about all the bad things that the church in the name of Christ has done, but to get us to look back to the purity and sincerity of the early church who preached the word, and they had signs and wonders following. And beloved, God wants us to get back to the simplicity of the gospel, where Jesus is the focus, not headquarters, not our doctrinal beliefs and our particular scriptural interpretations, but rather to be brought together in the bonds of love. That is God's heart's desire, that they will know we're Christians by our love. That does not tolerate false doctrine. It does not gloss over sin. But we have to have not only the Word of God, which is so critical, which guides us, but the Spirit of God, God's heart of compassion for the lost. And he's done that. There's many Muslims who are getting visions of Jesus in countries where the gospel is not able to be preached, because God loves people. He wants to reach out to them. We need to get in line with what the head is doing. I've been talking about the church. God's glorious church is not an organization of four walls or a headquarters or a denomination, beloved. It's the living body of Christ, who God puts together as He desires. He sets those in the body, fivefold ministry, as He chooses. He's equipping them, the very saints of God, the lively stones, through fivefold ministry, to do the work of the ministry, to preach and activate and demonstrate and represent the Great Commission, what it really means to be a Christian, not just in word, but in deed. There are those who say that the church sent forth apostles. There are those who say that the church should only be one local assembly in any given city. There are those who say that the church should not fellowship with any other churches except those who are of their fellowship. I know denominations like that. In fact, I know independent, supposedly Christian churches who do the same thing. They only want to stay with people of their particular persuasion and belief. Is this new? No, it's not new. From Martin Luther to today, this has been the premise for the so-called church bodies now in bondage. There are those who say that the church is the all-important guide and deposit of spiritual authority. Beloved, it is the Word of God, which is the supreme authority over all. Jesus is the head of his church. These same folks love to preach submission, but they won't submit to the highest authority of all, that of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The Word of God is to reign supreme. The local presbyters are, or elders, if you will, are overseers. They're not rule makers. The rules have already been given. The whole theme of God's eternal plan of salvation is divine love. Whomsoever will may come and drink freely of the waters of life. Not those whom we recognize, but whosoever may come and drink freely at that fountain of life. And I believe it's so important to note that the Lord said freely. You don't have to subscribe to the doctrines of men. You have to turn your eyes upon Jesus. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. This is what Jesus said in Revelation 21:6. The one local assembly is not just a member, the only member of Christ's body in the Christian community, nor in the light of the whole Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, is it the authority of a few to, quote, give approval for the calling of a man to service or a woman. It's not the privilege or right of the presbytery to accept or outlaw a ministry to members of the universal body of Christ. That is, of course, unless they're teaching heresy. If they preach another doctrine than Jesus or what the apostles did. The first and most sacred relation of the body of Christ is to the head, beloved, to Jesus, watching and waiting for him in our daily life induces holiness of life as well as our conduct in serving him. And praise God for the Holy Spirit. The supreme work of the Holy Spirit is to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ to us. He doesn't testify of himself. That's his job, to reveal Jesus and to establish our hearts unblameable in holiness before God our Father at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints. That's 1 Thessalonians 3:13. The glorious risen Christ manifests himself to man, to sinners, to the world, through his body in this earth. As the Holy Spirit testifies of and about Jesus Christ to us, and thereby brings us into the knowledge of his salvation, and makes his salvation a living experience in our lives, so the church, the body of Christ, is to testify of Jesus and proclaim salvation and deliverance to the whole world, preaching the gospel of the good news, the kingdom of God, the whole word for the whole man to the whole world. While the church in Acts did lay hands on the apostles and sent them aside, they didn't choose them. They didn't approve them. They simply obeyed the Holy Spirit. They were acknowledging what God had chosen. When Saul was converted as he journeyed to Damascus, Jesus Christ chose him, not the presbytery, as some would preach. Listen to Acts 9:1-9. Let me share that with you. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, in other words, the Christians, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. He was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat or drink. And of course, if you know the rest of the story, God spoke to a man, a disciple named Ananias, sent him to Paul. He laid hands on him. His eyes were healed, and he was baptized in the Holy Ghost. In the upper room, Jesus called the disciples together. Jesus gave them his call to service, and they were waiting for the seal, if you will, of the Holy Ghost, not the approval of the local presbytery or board or the religious leaders of their day, the Pharisees or the Sadducees. None of these steps that the elders took in setting aside any of the disciples for service was done by or through their own approval, handed down by the privileged few who might have given them a nod for service. Each one was called by God first. Then they laid hands and prayed over them and sent them forth as God commanded. Praise God. Well, beloved, my time has again flown, and we'll continue on tomorrow's broadcast. I pray for you every day. I thank you for joining me. If you have prayer needs, as always, I give you an invitation to write and share those needs, and know that I'll pray for you personally and send back whatever encouragement God would give you through the ministry of correspondence. If you email, I would suggest that I will confirm receipt, and I will pray for you. But if you would like further ministry, I ask you to include your mailing address so that I can write you personally. I love you. Thank you for joining me. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.